Greetings, dear ones. I am Cryon of Magnetic Service. The indigenous grandfathers are here. And many of you felt them in the room. The indigenous grandfathers will always be wherever you do this. For this is their prophecy. And as far back as you wish to go on the planet, north and south, this is their prophecy. That there would come a day when indigenous and non-indigenous would gather together and honor each other through the earth. This is an anointed place. This day it is sacred land. And I want to say something to you in all love and compassion this day. If you've come to have a good time, you could leave now. And the empty seat will be withdrawn. And it will be closed in by those who recognize the sacredness of this day. Of this day. I'll give you messages in four pieces today about what you're doing, the history of it, a little bit about Yahyi, always. I'll tell you about your future choirs. I'll even link up a node and a noah for you. But for now, let us set the energy of this place and call it what it is. For the few hours that you're here, turn your consciousness upon that which you have learned. Treat this as sacred ceremony, for it is. Treat this as something that is impactful to the planet, because it is. Honor the indigenous who walked the dirt before the cement was laid down in this place, and see them as family. For they've expected you, dear ones. And here you are, right on time. Let the prophecy be fulfilled this day. Let it begin. And so the winds of change are upon us. They're upon all of us. Even that which you would call creative source, especially that which you would call creative source. If you ever thought you were alone on this planet and what you were doing here was isolated, think again. For the things that you do today are an exposure of greater things for the galaxy, for the neighborhood. They know what you're doing here. I wish to speak of history. I wish to speak of the history of the ancients. I wish to speak of the history of the tones. Let us start with a phrase that you may have heard, that history will drive the future. And if you speak to a modern sociologist, a modern anthropologist, this is a cynical statement. For what they see is history tending to repeat itself, as though humanity would never learn from the mistakes they make. And it would seem that they are correct. For in the last few thousand years, there has not been much evidence of progress. As I mentioned before, the sticks that you hit each other just got bigger. That's the only change. Survival was still survival. And so it would appear that that statement is correct. That the history of the planet will repeat itself and drive you into the future without a great deal of evolution of consciousness. Now let us go back even further in time, however, and look at how the indigenous looked at it. Every single indigenous culture on this planet starts their ceremonies honoring the ancients, their own ancestors, for there is a recognition that the template of wisdom lays there. And so they ask the past for help with their future, but it is not a cynical look. Instead, it is a beautiful look that the future could be developed by the wisdom of the original grandfathers and the ancients as far back as they could look. Acknowledging the wisdom of the past. Now let us turn another page and look at this in a quantum way. A quantum way. Outside of three dimensions, climbing into the esoteric box that you have chosen for today. What is your past, human being? Your quantum past. And now I ask you to look at the template that has been placed here by the Pleiadians. That is in your DNA. Those are the ancients for you. And so indeed, history may drive the future. The history of the Pleiades. A graduate planet, the real ancients. The ones you carry right now in your DNA, the ones who have set the sacredness of this space. And so the indigenous had it correct. Except when you now apply the quantum aspect, you go further back than this planet. You're looking at the history of a graduate, divine, aware culture. And that is the door that you are opening. A few years ago, Yai, who you call Dr. Todd, started making the tones, and he did not know why. When they started to become structured, we started to give him instructions on what he was doing and why he was remembering. He was remembering the divine tones of a quantum history. And it started with remembering the tones out of Lemuria, and this day you have an example of his now remembering in real time the past from the Pleiadians, delivered to him as he needs it, not from something that he had in his Akash. Now for some of you, this is difficult to conceive of, but this is what is happening this day. Last year, you put together what we would call the Lemurian Choir. And this was the opening statement, the key in the lock, as I told you then, an enablement of the time capsules of the planet. An enablement. The key had been turned, the lock was disengaged. The lock could only be disengaged with a planet that saw this, that the history that they were looking at to propel them into the future would not be their history, but the seed biology history, the Pleiadian history. That it was possible for humanity to raise its consciousness. And you turned the key, and the galaxy knew it, and the neighborhood knew it. And at some level, dear one, every human on the planet knew it, at some level. That was the enablement. And there were those who would say, we're done. We have done our job. We have enabled. I want to give you an example of what that's like. That would be like a pioneer finding gold, panning it and seeing it glisten in the water, realizing he had discovered the mother lode, and then walking away and saying, "That's nice," without finding the goal. There is the human attribute of the now in modern society that sees an event and says, "That's all, let me do something more exciting." Those of you who are here, I want to tell you, it doesn't get more exciting than this. Every single time you put these tones together and do this, there is elevated purpose. It is true that you turned the key. You discovered where the gold might be. But now, you get to use it. And using it is your destiny. And using it comes right from the creative source. A month ago, at Lake Titicaca, the prophecy was fulfilled. The shaman from the north meet the shaman from the south. And the time capsules collectively were open. You turned the key last December. A month ago, you might say that you then opened the door. And today, you're walking through it. It doesn't get more exciting, or does it? And I'm going to give you some information in these next sections about the future choirs, about what you might be doing, about perhaps what their names should be, and even a little more about Yai. But this is the history, and the history will drive the future. A future that sees humanity different than any sociologist could ever conceive who is alive today. That is our prophecy. And finally, I want you to see where you sit. For the last time you gathered in a choir, the indigenous were the Lemurian. They represented the seed biology. Today you sit in a place where the indigenous were the prophets of the earth. No other group but the Maya had the time fractals figured out so that they could tell you when the end of the long count occurred and give you the prophecy of what you're standing here today doing when you sing the tones. That was their prophecy, the beginning of a new calendar. With human nature starting to change, with potential starting to elevate, and finally, the ancients would come forward and their consciousness would be revealed. And they're here today, watching you. Some of you are them. We have given you explanations of the nodes and the nulls of the planet. New information that has only occurred in the last year. Information that could not be given because you had not reached this point where these time capsules would be needed. Nodes and nulls are confusing to humanity. They're not a three-dimensional concept. But we're going to give you something that will help you to understand a little more why things come in pairs. Even three-dimensional physics comes in pairs. You will always present a choir in a node, and there's a reason. The node is an overlapping of both physical and esoteric grids, multidimensionally creating a situation where you feel good. Human beings tend to feel better in places where negativity is being removed rather than in places where positive things are being pushed at you. Did you know that? Human beings love to cleanse. You do it all the time. Every opportunity for a cleansing, you're there. If you want something removed that doesn't suit you, you're there. And this is why a node makes you feel so good. For it seems to be the cosmic vacuum cleaner for the crystalline grid, realigning it, recalibrating it, and taking away the things that no longer serve you. Creating a space where you can put into it the things that you want. There's a node and a null, and there must be, there are 12 pairs. When you speak to one, you speak to both because they're quantumly allied. You might even say they're entangled. There is no reason for you to visit a null when you've already visited the node because you speak to both of them. Isn't it interesting? The push and pull energy that we have spoken of, even at the center of your galaxy, even the creative source itself is a pair. So let us put this in a way that you can further understand. Dear ones, if you're going to populate another world, would you send one human? No. You send two. And the energies of them are masculine and feminine when you look at humanity in three dimensions. And the beauty of them coming together in a way with love creates that which will begat other human beings. It is a beautiful process. It is an energy that comes together. It is a node and a null. And they are equal. And they are beautiful. And the result is creation. Let me tell you some things about Yahyi. As the priest that he was in Lemuria, he had high science. He had it from the Pleiadians. And he was selected to have it, and he lived a very long life. Lemurians procreated. That's what they were doing to bring in the souls, to create an Akash, a template. They would be beautiful. Yahyi had many children, as many of them did. He lived a very long time. Some of his children actually became the Akashic templates of the ancients. And I know that he suspected that. But in today's life, as Dr. Todd, there are no children. And yet there are. For he has been responsible for bringing you the push-pull energy that will create new consciousness on the planet. You might say, because of that, that Dr. Todd is always quantumly pregnant. I'm not sure he wanted to hear that. But does it not then show you that there is a balanced male and female in the man? The gentleness that some of you have seen, the beauty of mastery that some of you have seen. I would like to recall with you his history on the planet, for it didn't start with the esoterics. It started with a vision. And in this vision, he was taken on purpose into that which was the DNA molecule itself, and he got to look around. We even called him the Twist Master, for he got to see how it was put together. And although this particular knowledge did not then implement into his science, it gave him the vision of what was needed next. It is Dr. Todd who has put together the first quantum energy on the planet and been able to facilitate it, duplicate it, and use it. Long before he was doing these tones, he had discovered something that I will call benevolent physics. And what he found in this quantumness, as he remembered it as a Pleiadian, was that every single thing he did with this invention was benevolent. That is out of the odds of scientific discovery. For usually, when you work a puzzle in science, in chemistry, you always have experiments. Some work, some do not. Everything he touched with this invention was benevolent. Some of you know of the latest and the stem cells that are guided to the places they should go. How do they know where to go? What is the template that could be used? I want to tell you what the template is. It's Gaia. This is high science given to you by the Pleiadians with physics that knows where to go to heal a human being. And as I stand here saying these things and these words perhaps would be echoed around the planet someday and seen, some would be laughed at and other scientists will say, we're seeing this too. Can you imagine discovering elements of physics that know who you are and only do benevolent things in your body? And the reason I bring it up is because the tones you are singing are benevolent pairs that are co-creating a birth of a new consciousness on the planet. One that is balanced with male and female. One that is not in survival mode. One that has compassion first. That will create a new kind of thinking. You're planting the seeds. It's not going to be in your news tomorrow. Dear ones, you know that. It may even take a generation or two for you to start seeing it completely, where one generation must die out and another come back with a new crystalline grid on its feet. But you are helping the planet birth. That's why the tones are sung together. That's why they have to come together in a certain way in order to birth this new child on the planet, which is new consciousness, a new human being. And it's so far removed from your logic at the moment, but you can feel it, can you not? And you know you're doing something important, can you not? And you know the ancients are smiling on all the planets of free choice. And that is the story of what is going on this day in this place. And after the break, the next installment, I'll tell you about the choirs that you're going to sing in soon. And so it continues. And you might ask, what is the future of the choir? Now, Yahi has not been given instructions specifically on how many choirs, when to do them, or how long it's supposed to last. So I'll let him know now. This is not a linear process. It is not necessary to go to every single node on the planet and assemble a choir there. Isn't that good news? There is a period of time for the singing of the tones and the assemblies of the choir. and it's through 2016. This is the completion year, this group of years, the beginning of the 18 years past the precession of the equinox's center is the time for this. And this will coincide, Yah-E, with your schedule. And it will make sense to you to put the nodes together and perhaps other choirs in non-nodal areas to accomplish certain kinds of energies yet to come. But let us speak of the ones that are scheduled. And they appear right now on a three-dimensional schedule of time. And let us speak about what they will be, and let us name them. Now, Yah-E, in your mind, you've already named them, but you never ask. So we're going to rename them. Not everything is yours to accomplish. Almost. Let us discuss the attributes of what is to come in the next 2 years and look at the attributes that perhaps you have not yet discussed or thought of as you schedule the choirs. Some of this you have thought of, Yah-E, and some you have not. The next two nodes that you will sing at that are scheduled are both extremely active places for Pleiadian creation. In fact, you might even say they are the most active. What I mean by that is that Pleiadian energy is still there. It is still there, felt by humans who have no idea what they're feeling. They are both sacred land. They are both protected. So let us discuss the first that you know about, and this will be next year. It's the year of the seven. Seven, in absolute classic numerological terms, that being from the Tibetan source, not esoteric, but classic, would be divinity. And so you might then wrap around the divine greeting to the Pleiadians in the mountain called Shasta. And the choir that is assembled there in a few months is going to be one that is not about creating a birth of an energy on the planet as much as it is an assembly of celebration, greeting those in the mountain that you've known have always been there. The city that is Telos, that those in the past dedicated their lives to seeing the city in the mountain, the metaphor of the creative source which lives there even today, will be celebrated by the choir that will go there. Is it not interesting to you that this node has no resorts around it? Not really, not like here. There has not been an attraction that would create something that would be inappropriate around the mountain. That it is pristine. It is village-like. And that is where you will go next in the year of the seven, the divine year. And you may wish to then create and name this the divine choir, the divine greeting choir, whatever in the scope of those things, because that is what you're going to do. You just sang a tone about the seeds of creation. Sing it again there. In fact, you're going to sing it in 2015 as well. So that is the story of Shasta, alive with energy, of the Pleiadian source, So close to the surface is it that those who are not interested in esoterics can climb that mountain and feel them. Perhaps even see the lights that are there at dusk and at night where there should be no lights. The mountain has a lineage, and the lineage is that of the creative source. Go and celebrate them and greet them with the choir. The year after that, there are two choirs scheduled, one in a node and one not. And so I will discuss with you perhaps the names of those and the energies around them. You have the tones already, Yai, and those you think you need will be delivered to you in real time, just like they were for this one. The choir next year is about celebration. The choir in 2015, the year of the eight, is also going to be at an extremely active Pleiadian site in the middle of the continent of Australia, in Uluru. Now, the Aborigines have something that most people do not know. If you've studied their culture, they claim the creation source is the Seven Sisters. This is their tradition, and so they are claiming those from the stars came. And they landed first at Ayers Rock. And Uluru was the point of creation for them. There are many points of creation around the planet. There are some very ancient ones, and this is one of the most ancient. Lemuria has an entirely different attribute as being the first civilization that was sequestered by being an island to have Pleiadian energy and last as long as it did. But Uluru may have the original seeds of the Pleiadians still there. If you ask the indigenous in Australia, who are now part of the planning of this area and ownership of this area, they will say that the ones whose names you cannot pronounce are still there, and they will not allow a human being to go there except a shaman. They will not even allow aircraft to fly over it. It is that sacred to them. And so you will go and you will gather there. That is the creation choir. And it is celebrating not only that which began on this planet, but that is where you are going to put down new energies. And when 2015 arrives, you will know what those energies are and what you need to do in that place to complement this node and open that capsule. The Australians say that they have evidence, carbon dated, of civilization as you know it, up to 60,000 years old at Uluru. And so you will go there and feel the ancients, tap into the history and the template that exists there, that the Pleiadians brought and that the indigenous call the Seven Sisters creative source. A very special one indeed. There is another one in 2015 that you have planned, and it's not in a node. It is in Israel. It's not even close to a node. And you might say, what are you doing there with a choir? What might you do there? I hope this gives you chills, dear ones. And I'll tell you what you're doing there, because Israel, in all the prophecies in the last 2,000 years, has been called the ignite point of the end of the earth. Israel was going to be the trouble spot that would trigger World War III. The alliances that would be political on the planet that would bring you a nuclear war. All because of what took place in Israel. And all of the problems of the Israelis and the Israelites of all through history culminate there in a troubled area. What might you do there, my dear ones? In 2015, you are going to disengage the trouble. And you can call this the forgiveness choir if you want to, but they will argue about who is forgiving whom. It would be better to call it the healing choir. Healing of ancient enemies, the beginning of sacred land being more sacred than ever before, where the masters who walked there figuratively can look at one another, hug one another, shake hands, and say it's the beginning of a new Israel. It's going to be the new Jerusalem, and that is what you're going to do there. It's the city on the hill. It is the one seen by the prophets all along that would glisten with healing, with forgiveness, with new humanity. This is the opportunity you have. It's not an ode. It doesn't need to be to heal it. Many of you will wish to be part of that. Those of you who cannot will know when it's going to occur. And perhaps there will be a way for this one, Ya'i, to include through the internet those who wish to join. And you have time for that. This is what we see as the energies of these next three. Beyond that, in 2016, it would be the completion, yet to be known, yet to be planned. But I've just given you the names. And so it is at this point in time that you see that what you're doing here is a series. And not one of them is complete by itself. You must have them as a series. A human being does not have to be at all of them. That would be linear. Those who are attracted and can come go to each one will be the right ones, just like those who are the right ones here. Plan on it. Participate in it. Be part of it. You have earned it. You've reached the end of not just a ceremony, but a time of co-creation and the birthing of a new energy on the crystalline grid. And in review, I say yet again that the crystalline grid of the planet is the action grid. It is the rememberer of human action and that which postures the energy of the newborns. But when the newborn humans come into the planet, the first thing they will see besides their parents and their environment is they will relate their Akash to the current energy of Earth. And that is postured by the crystalline grid. And therefore, if you change the grid, you change humanity's newborn potential, pulling in the history from another place that is pure. And in review, when we told you that the whales had the pure templates of the planet, they are stored there so they we will never, ever be destroyed. Not just the templates of the planet, but also of the pure human being. The one that Yah-Eh says will let you live forever. Indeed, there is a template for that. It's biological, it's esoteric, it's divine. The inventions of the planet, the quantumness to come, the templates of invention are all there. You cannot separate one template from another. A Gaia template is a DNA template. And therefore, the answer to the question that Yah-Eh has just posed is there is no difference, dear one, today, from what you do with, you think, the crystalline grid, you're doing to yourself. And therefore, you are clearing that which is recalibrating within your own DNA, and you will be different because of it. You are creating compassion to the crystalline grid at the same time you are rewriting it in yourself. You cannot separate these things. In a linear way, the human being wishes to compartmentalize one and then another. And in singing this tone or that tone, they wish to know what is activated here, how is this working. It does not appear to us that way. It is grander than you think. When you put something on the stove that you've worked on very hard and all the ingredients are there, you heat it up together. You don't put a pot on the stove and just a portion of the ingredients heat up. All of it heats up. And this is the quantum soup of what you do with the choir. You turn the key in the lock for yourself in December 21, 2012. And this day, you open the time capsules inside your DNA, allowing you greater wisdom. In this place, healing. Healing. Things that you've asked for, dear choir members. I said to you first, if you've come to have a good time, you shouldn't be here. You came to work, and you have. And the result will be some of you receive what you came for. And the rest will have the seeds planted for grander things. Much grander. It is personal. It is planetary. The time capsules open on the planet in the nodes and the nulls and inside humanity, especially the ones who are participating. Humans have free choice. But one of the grand things is that as you open a time capsule and enable it, humanity, which is not esoteric, which would never be here, which would not understand any of these things, will be affected. It is permission for them to find things easier, to see the compassionate ways, to put things together instead of tearing them apart. Church leaders, politicians, all affected with the time capsules that begin to open. So don't linearize what you've done here as something you did for a node and a null today. That's not the way it works. Instead, you are heating the pot of the perfect templates of Earth and humanity. It's all on the stove together. And by a series of events, you are lighting the fires. When Yah-Eh began, his quantum invention led him to Africa. It's interesting. And now I give you some things you should know yet again about the future, which may seem mysterious. Ryan is not a prophet. I am here to show you an overview which is already taking place that individually a human being cannot see. When I arrived 23 years ago and I told you there would be no Armageddon, it's because we saw what was in progress, not because we had the prophecy of God. We saw what humanity was doing. And that's why we came. We saw the potential of the end of the prophecies of war. And that's why we came. We saw the potential of Yahi and this day. And that's why we came. You sit in prophecy today, fulfilled, and you're part of it. Yahi was led to Africa. It is interesting, is it not, how many of those in this room are working at some level with Africa. And you didn't think I knew that, did you? I do. He's still working in Africa. Yahi's work takes him into many places, but it's about Africa. It's about healing the continent, perhaps even feeding it with quantum invention. Africa. 2012, December 21. You were in a node in Lemuria. And at that time, we did not reveal it, but we did later on, that the matching null was in Chad, Africa. And so you paired up, did you not, with a Lemurian node and a null in Africa. That was the first of the pairing that we have revealed. The second pairing we revealed in Lake Titicaca was the natural one that you would expect with the node of the lake in Bolivia and the Tibetan mountain is the null. Will it shock and surprise you that the second choir links this Mayan Peninsula node with the null in Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa? Africa, what is happening there? Why is Yahi involved? Why is the choir doing those nodes and nulls first? And the answer is, dear human being, what we have told you before, even that of the Akash, of the man who is talking, knows that his next stop is in Africa. And he will have different colored skin, and he will be part of a political structure, and he will help Yahi when he gets there. It's about Africa. And the reason is because it is an untouched continent. And when it is healed, and when it is fed, and when it begins to be its own entity, it will have nothing to undo. It will have no cultures to rewrite. It will start over. And it may very well be the biggest, highest consciousness, most elegant culture to ever exist on the planet. And you're planting seeds for it right now. It's coming. There are so many things you cannot imagine on this planet which are good news, which we see. And yes, it's a long way away. But if we had told your grandfathers there would be no war, would they have believed you at this point in time? If you had told your grandfathers and grandmothers that today's political structure would be so different on the planet, that former countries of war had come together and they have a union together where there are no walls anymore with the same currency, would they have believed it? If we told you today that there are continents right now lining up to do the same thing, would you believe it? It is all part of what you're doing. The time capsules are you. And inside you is Pleiadian DNA, and inside you is a template of their history. And that is going to start to be revealed, making you more compassionate. And isn't that why you came? Isn't that why you came? And so it is.